Okay. All right. Let me get oriented here just a moment. I think I accidentally closed my board reports. Okay. So to kind of just, you know, closing off the revenue discussion, I think, you know, expenses are have definitely been high the first part of the year. Keep in mind that we are resolving quite a few significant liabilities, such as the EMT back pay or the GEMT funding, as well as a number of annualized expenses like insurance for EMS. And we also, on the hospital district side, paid the subsidy to Peace Health. So I don't think there's any cause to be alarmed. It's just the normal cycle of the year. But did anybody have questions on the finances for either EMS or the hospital district?
No.
Okay.
No, I assume we can anticipate a significant bump after the April payments for property taxes. And just one quick question. Have you heard anything about that or any reason to think they'd be different than in past years?
I don't have any information one way or the other. You know, we did get quite a bit of tax revenue in March, and we do expect more tax revenue in April. And so we're planning to pay off the EMS building next month in May. I've talked to the bank, and that's in process right now. Part of why we want to do that is make sure we generate some of this revenue before doing that. Revenue is, you know, varies during the year as well. But we got $200,000 in, you know, revenue in March for the hospital district, which, given that, you know, we'd only had, well, I guess we got 240,000, given that the entire year we had 252,000, you know, that's quite a lot just in one month. So, but that said, you know, I don't have the benefit of Pam's historical perspective on this. You know, I haven't tracked board reports every month for years. So, you know, to some extent, this cycle is new to me as well. But based on what I'm looking at and the finances and stuff, this is consistent with what we should expect and pretty normal. Okay, changing topics just a little bit. So on the hospital district side, we did hire Steve Wamsgans. It's going very well. He's quick to learn. He's getting caught up on a lot of things. We sorted the financials. You can now go to the hospital district, and I can show you where they're at, and you can see every month's warrants and every month's payroll and every month's financial review all in one place. And we have all the signatures and things signed off. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. We've also managed to get the grants, changes to the grants. We got the notice of award today for the care coordination grant. We got the notice of award 2 weeks ago for the planning grant that make me the project director for both. Pam had made an arrangement with Ann for Ann to run the planning grant, and that's been the case for the last 6 months. So I intend to transfer that to her, and I'll retain the financial manager responsibilities. I am retaining the project director role for the HRSA care coordination grant, which means I'm the person, essentially the person responsible for the grant. Although how grants work is there are other people with really significant say for different things. But we also, unfortunately, we had to pay warrants for the grants out of our own money this month. The payment management services denied my request 4 times. Finally got it worked out the 4th time. It was frustrating, but it's worked out. It's got approval today. So we will draw down funds from HRSA and transfer them into our account so that those grants will be budget neutral. But there will be slightly lower. It's only a few thousand dollars, but we'll be slightly behind what we should be in the April finances. Okay, that's it for the hospital district. Anything to do with the non-EMS stuff? Grants, questions about grants, any of that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Launching into EMS stuff. We continue to support the COVID clinics. We supported the National Guard on Monday, sent the ambulance crew over there. We actually offered more staff and they didn't need them. We had quite a few people come to the, you know, we were not able to fill all the appointments, but quite a few people came to the, so they opened it up to everyone just without signups, a walk-in clinic. Quite a few people came. I had Umberto there, who was on duty. He's one of our EMTs, speaks fluent Spanish. He was able to help some of the Hispanic population that had some language difficulties. We feel pretty good about our contribution there. The county is, should be well over 70% vaccinated now. Looking forward to updated numbers from the county. Not everyone's had their second dose, but I believe it's safe to say that 70% or more of our county has received at least one jab. I know that Commissioner Lehman has helped quite a bit with these clinics, and we've expended quite a bit of effort on these clinics, scheduling people to come help. It's been a lot of effort, but it's a vital public service and we feel really good about it. As you know, we did have a significant spike in cases at the end of March, and cases continue to be high through much of April. But vaccinations, I should say though, although they feel high as a percentage of our population, is actually not particularly high. And County Health has done a fantastic job doing all of the contact tracing. I really couldn't be more impressed by our Department of Health and the fantastic work that they've done. And I couldn't be more pleased to contribute EMS's support to help them. But they really deserve the shiny star. I know that a couple of weeks ago, there was a letter in the paper. I don't recall if it was 50 or 100 Islanders, but a bunch of people signed it thanking them for their efforts. If they'd asked me, I would have cheerfully signed it. They've really been great. And, you know, one of the benefits has been quite a bit of interagency, interorganization contact that wouldn't occur otherwise. And we're all getting to know each other better than we would have otherwise. A lot of things like the Wednesday morning vaccine partner calls, these are all kind of unintended consequences, but in a good way, where people know each other's names, faces, contact information, know who does what. It's probably, you know, based on my own limited experience, which granted is not extensive, there's probably never been a time where our health community has been more connected to each other. We've had a setback on our ambulance and Sprint rig purchases. Our ambulance, we received word this week, is going to be delayed till October. This is related to COVID, inadequate supplies. I think it's also one of the, you know, our Sprint rig has also been delayed, but not until October. We should have it within the next month or so. Not very happy about that. Also, not much we can do about it, but it should be still in the 2021 budget. We're okay. We have three working ambulances. We're excited to get the new one, but we'll be okay. But I am glad we got on it when we did. And it's one of the reasons we jumped on it when we did was because we were concerned about supply. So disappointing, but fine. On that note, as you probably saw in our board reports, call volume has definitely stabilized. We were within 4% of 2020. And we've seen that trend this year pretty consistently. December, we were 37% less than 2020. But that seems an anomaly resulting from nominal amounts of holiday travel. But as a general trend, we've consistently seen the number of ambulance runs close in on 2020. Now, in the past, you would have seen consistent increases over the prior year. So this is still a decrease over what we might otherwise have expected. This has consequences certainly for revenue, but it also has consequences for staffing. We've been through a rough year as an agency and struggling to deal with concurrent calls, trying to figure out what the call volume is, heavy on my mind and something that I've been quite attentive to. We had a long talk with many of the volunteers a week or two ago to talk about how we can make our volunteer program work better. They've been through a lot with the change to COVID shifting. POV response was discouraged due to COVID, trying to redevelop some of those old habits of responding to calls in their own personal vehicles, trying to work on helping people know when they're needed and when they're not, which is a really critical thing for many of our volunteers. You know, it's, well, if I go, am I really needed? Will I have time with patient, you know, giving patient care, or am I just going to be driving, you know, the medic rig back to the ambulance? And is that worth getting up at 1 a.m. for? So these different things, the issues of working with our volunteers, working with staff, motivating people, getting us back to where we need to be as we recover from COVID and prepare for a busy summer is really my top priority as EMS administrator and something I've been spending quite a bit of time on. And we are seeing success. We've had quite a few major codes, Marine calls. We've had an interesting month or two, and it's likely to be an interesting summer, and people are working hard. We do have a signed agreement with the medics, with the union, to bring the medics into the station. I don't think we've announced that publicly yet, but I do have an assigned agreement, a memorandum of understanding with the union to bring the medics into the station rather than being on call at home. This presents opportunities. It also presents challenges. It's not 100% good or 100% bad. It's just, it is what it is. It's where the agency needs to go, but you know, it definitely presents some, I don't want to build in a staffing shortage by moving from on-call shifts to in-station shifts. And so we've agreed to send a student to medic school to ensure that we have adequate advanced life support coverage, adequate medic coverage. We should know within the next week whether or not Medic One will take our student. We are told we are first in line. The only way we don't get our student into medic school is if there are no slots for people outside of King County. Very excited about that. We're not publicly announcing who we're sending until we're sure, but really very pleased about this. And this was quite a bit of work and a major change for our agency, but I am optimistic about it. People seem happy with it. The negotiation was all in good faith. There was never any, I don't know, angry words tossed around or anything. It was just very collaborative. How do we help each other out? How do we get the agency where we need to be? So I count that as a significant success for San Juan Island EMS, and I think will be really good for our community. That's all I had, commissioners. Any questions or comments?
Well, congratulations on that, Nathan. It's, you know, it was hard work and negotiations with the union are tough. And I'm really excited about their willingness to be in station. I'm very happy. And I'm thrilled we're sending someone to paramedic school too and investing in the future of the agency. So thank you.
We appreciate that. I did forget to talk about integration. We can talk about that as well, but any other comments? Sorry.
All yours.
I was just going to say basically thank you for all your hard work, Mr. Butler. And I think that's an enormous accomplishment for the paramedics. What a shift for them. I mean, I don't mean shift work, but a real shift in their lives, you know, coming into the station. And I know that's not happening imminently, but, you know, to be progressing towards that goal and the fact they've agreed to do that, you know, I think is huge. So thank you for the work that you did on that. And very exciting to have one of our own going off to, you know, that we can support going to become a paramedic. So thank you for that work as well. And it'll be exciting. I'm going to cross my fingers that's going to happen and we can announce that. So anyway, thank you, Nathan, because I know you put in long days and a lot of hours towards all of us, and it's much appreciated.
Thank you, Commissioner. It was definitely a team effort. I'm happy to take the credit, you know, but there was a lot of people involved in this, and I'm so pleased about how it turned out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate the work you've done. I'm very happy with also the people of EMS who have continued to work and are working together with you in a spirit of cooperation. They're making this happen as well as you. And it's, again, it just feels like the organization's coming together, things are getting done, and I really deeply appreciate what everyone is doing, because it's not any one person. You know, somebody might provide lead, but it takes everybody on the team doing their part to move forward, and that is, I feel that. I did not feel that a year ago, and I do now. So my thanks to everybody. Thank you, Nathan, and thank you any of the EMS people that aren't listening that are there contributing. Thanks.
Hear, hear. Yes.
Thank you, commissioners. I'm pleased about it.
Kyle, did you have something to say?
No, I think it's been covered.
Thank you,
y'all.
I can use another count on the back, commissioner.
We were just going to touch on integration. You know, those of us on the board are really not involved with what you're doing, but you have been continuing to meet with Chief Collins, and you're working on, I believe, run reviews coming up together soon. Is that correct?
That's correct. On the integration front, we're definitely continuing to work on it. I met with Chief Collins several times. Working to build relationships. We are beginning work on collecting the financial documentation we need to build the financial planning for a joint service. We're also working on kind of what the response model will look like. We haven't got very far in that yet. I know we're going to need to. One major thing that does help with integration, though, is that agreement to bring the medics into the station, which would certainly be an expectation the fire district would have. That said, it wasn't really my primary motivation for making that change, but it definitely helps. And I think it definitely moves us closer to integration. It makes the negotiation between the union and the fire district that much easier when, you know, there's a more similar system that you're negotiating over. We're doing joint run reviews starting next month. In fact, it'll be the first Monday of the month. This is a big change for our agency. And, you know, I spent quite a bit of time working on this, meeting with volunteers individually, meeting with people as a group, trying to address and consider people's concerns and how this will affect them. It's, you know, we've done run reviews the fourth Tuesday of the month for 44 years. So this change is not small. It's necessary though, regardless of integration, just because we have the same calls, we're on the same runs. It's a waste of Dr. Corso's time to do two sets of run reviews. And I think that doing joint run reviews will help promote cohesion and unity amongst our staffs, respective staff and volunteers. So I think overall it's necessary, but it's certainly a change. So we are doing this mainly to accommodate Dr. Corso's schedule. He goes to Orcus on the first Tuesday, Lopez the first Wednesday. So it made sense to, go to San Juan, then Orcus, then Lopez 3 days in a row. It allows him to kind of get it all done at once because he doesn't live in our county. And we are going to be doing in-person run reviews. The fire district has a large bay, which can more than accommodate both agencies, at least the ops staff, with social distancing, and given that almost everyone vaccinated, and consistent with CDC guidelines, we feel pretty comfortable with that. Dr. Corso certainly will supervise that to ensure compliance with all the best guidance on preventive measures for COVID-19. Quite a bit going on the integration front, but also just in terms of working with the fire district and overall being collaborative partners. Also related to that, we're also working on CODAN and radio issues as we approach completion of that project. We had a county chief's meeting last week talking through radio issues, figuring out how we're going to take advantage of the new CODAN project, looking at what equipment we should consider getting, all of these sorts of things. So we're working together and we're getting where we need to be. Doesn't mean there aren't hiccups or challenges, but we're doing whatever we can. So I think I actually managed to cover everything this time. But I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
I had one question. Sorry, I was looking at those EMS run reviews and noticed that the North End was taking a long time to respond, or we were taking a long time to respond to the North End. Is something changed in particular, or has it always been a challenge up that way?
That's consistent with historical averages. The North End and the South End are both challenging places. We tend to have surprisingly few calls on both the North and the South End. On the South End, we enjoy some advantages. We have two medics that live towards the South. They're kind of split between the center and the South. And so when they're on duty, if there's a call on the South End, they're likely to get there quite quickly. To some extent, it's the luck of the draw. What day of the month it is, if a call comes through on the South End, depending on who's on duty, you might get a quicker response. But response times on the South and North End are usually slow relative to the center of the island. It's quite a haul, really. We often will store an ambulance on the North End, but you still have to have staff for the ambulance. And we only have a few EMTs that live over there. And then they've got to actually get the page, be available, and get to the ambulance. So it's often just as fast as in an ambulance from here. Ongoing problem, nothing irregular about that, Commissioner.
Okay, thanks. According to these, looks like the North End is twice as far as the South End. So yeah. I'm just a little surprised.
On the South End, we also have some citizen responders that were EMTs for many years here at EMS. And they still occasionally will go. So it's probably safe to say we can give more, they're not a part of the official response, but if you speak to patient care and how well the patient is taken care of, we definitely are able to do better on the South End than the North End, even though spatially speaking, they're roughly equidistant. It's not really, without knowing the background, there's no reason to think one would be better than the other in terms of coverage, but it's just the way it shakes out. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much. It's nice that we're on track and things are being taken care of. I appreciate it. If there's nothing else, we can move on to audience participation. And again, you know, remember you have a 3-minute limit. No, I'm just kidding. Star 6 to unmute yourself. And if we have no public comment, if there are any commissioner comments. And in that case, I would call to adjourn this meeting of the San Juan County Public District, a public hospital district number 1 Board of Commissioners. It is now, what time?
7:23.
Good. Not bad.
We did good.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. And I suppose we'll be seeing each other next month, if not before.
Yes. Thanks, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Good night,
commissioners.
Good night.
Thank you, Nathan, for your work. And it's nice that things are smooth. It's been a smooth transition from Superintendent Hutchins to Superintendent Butler, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Peggy, for being here, and we'll talk soon. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Night.